All right, well, welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen, and on today's show, we're going to talk about the fact that God finishes what he starts.
Got mad skills? Now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Well, welcome to New Every Day. So glad that you could join us again. We are continuing our discussion on the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. If you haven't been following and you're just tuning in, you might want to just stop for a minute, watch the last two episodes, kind of get caught up, maybe read the book of Revelation, then tune in. Jen and I have both shared how actually reading through the book, we've been blessed by it.
Yes.
Because even though it's hard to understand, there are amazing things and amazing truths about God. And one amazing truth that we've come to realize through reading it is that God, when he starts something, he finishes it. He keeps his word all the way through the Bible.
Yes. And we've mentioned in the previous show, this is why it's so important just to go back and sort of pick up where we've come from, is that some people think that God is slow in accomplishing what he set out, but he's only what we perceive to be slow in finishing what he starts because he wants to draw all people to him.
So him taking his time, or what we perceive, is giving people more of an opportunity.
Yes. And that is the hope that is in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the revelations that that we've had as we've read through it is, wait a second, this isn't about damning people to hell and earthquakes and floods, and yes, those things are in there.
Yeah.
But they're for the purpose of actually revealing God to people so that people are drawn to God and repent.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the hope is that God actually finishes what he starts. And there's, I find peace in that. So when he promises something, it's actually going to happen. And we have seen that in scripture. And here is God at the end finishing everything he started in the garden, in when he first created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1, he actually had a plan and purpose to have a relationship mm-hmm. with us. That's why we were created, was to have a relationship with God.
Jen, I can just hear my dad saying when I was growing up, because I'd start a job, you know, as a teenager or whatever, I wouldn't finish, start raking the grass, and then I'm off doing something else. Start doing this, then I'm off doing something else. And he would just be like, Carrie, just finish the job. Just finish raking the grass, put the stuff away, you know? It's so satisfying when you can rely on someone else to actually do what they're going to say. And so you were saying, yeah, we see that in both Genesis. It starts in Genesis,
yes,
and then ends in Revelation.
Like over and over and over again. It was so interesting as I read through Revelation, I went, wait a second. That story begins in Genesis.
Yeah, and you highlighted some of them. So we'll just read some of these interesting parallels between Genesis and Revelation, how God started something and then he finishes something. So in Genesis, Genesis presents the creation of the heavens and the earth.
In Revelation, it presents that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that's Revelation 21:1, where it says, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. So God is going to come and redeem this earth. It says that the earth groans for God to come and restore it. And so I, you know, part of that is like, ooh, like I get all like tingly. I'm like, what is that going to look like? What does a restored earth look like that doesn't have damage? In my mind, I think of strip mining, right? Or I think of, what does it look like to have a full habitat with all of the species that it was originally intended? Like, I want to know what a dodo bird looks like. They've been extinct, right? And we know that they were created. a new earth looks like.
Yeah.
With the fullness of what God fully intended. And so I'm actually excited that the fact that he, like you said, he began with the heavens and earth, and now we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth with it exactly how he intended. Like how, yay, God.
And he says that those who know him, we will also be restored and receive a new body when we're in heaven. So the old will be gone and the new will have fully come.
Yes.
And we're a new creation now in Christ because we've been set free from our sin. We've received the Holy Spirit. But we receive a new body when we're in heaven. And I just think how exciting for people who are experiencing chronic disease, who are experiencing things like visual impairment or speech impediments, or you can't walk, or you know, all these really physical things, that one day we're going to get a new body. And I got to think, Jen, that the fact that we have a perception of the passage of time.
Yes.
We can look in the mirror and we see ourselves aging. I found a gray hair this morning.
And I don't get enough sleep. My wrinkles show.
Honestly, I hate to keep pulling them out. Anyways. There's going to be no wrinkles. But I think we can see these reminders of the passage of time. Because it lets us know that we are not just for this time. Mm-hmm. That we are eternal. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it this way, why is it weird that we don't like the passage of time? Why don't we like it? It's so part of life.
Yeah.
People have been born, living, dying since the creation of the world. So why is it strange to us? It's like a fish being kind of out of sorts that the water's really wet, because it's so part of his natural environment. But I think that the fact that we can perceive the passage of time and it is uncomfortable to us points to the fact that we are eternal in our true nature.
Yes.
And that this is just the shell of our body.
Yes.
So next time you look in the mirror and you're looking at those wrinkles and you're counting your gray hairs, just thank God that there's something more to life than this.
Amen.
All right. So Genesis also tells us that Satan, the devil, was in the first garden.
And he is the one that caused all the problems, right? He is the serpent that caused Adam and Eve to sin, right? Mm-hmm. He presented
the fruit.
The fruit, right? If you eat this apple, you will be like God. And so the whole Bible is about the fallout of that choice that Eve and Adam made. And so in the end, God is true to he finishes what he starts, because even though Satan is in the first garden, in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no Satan. He will be thrown into the lake of fire. And so he will not be there. There will be no temptation. There will be no temptation in heaven. There will be nothing to draw us away from relationship with God. And so often we talk to people today about guarding relationships. We've talked about the little foxes so many times, because the little foxes come in and want to distract us. In heaven,
no, there's not to be there.
No little foxes will be distracting us from the goodness and wonderfulness of who God is. Satan will not be there. There will be no temptation. There will be no trials. There will be none of that. Like, God's going to get rid of Satan. There will be no evil in heaven.
Yay. And Genesis also tells us about the entrance of sin onto the earth, right? Jen just described that.
And in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no sin, because Satan will be have dealt with. He will be gone. And so there will be no sin in heaven. So there will be no bullying, which is so cool. Like, people will treat one another with love and respect and kindness and goodness.
Yeah.
There will be no abuse. No abuse. And for some of you, you need to hear that today. That there will be no abuse in heaven. That there will be no bruises. That there will be no sore spots in your life. That there will be a completely... It will be filled with God. And it says he will wipe away every tear. I love that picture. Like, there will be no hurt between people.
Mm-hmm.
There will be full restoration of relationship between people and with God.
Yeah, I mean, even just this week, I heard about, a little cousin of mine who was bullied at school, and I heard that, Jen, and I was like, I just want to find that bully, and I just want to make it right.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to take care of it and protect him and love him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the place for us to intervene. God is going to make all things right. He is just and both loving and good and merciful.
Yes.
But we get upset because we know it's wrong, but here's the hope that it's going to be restored.
Yes.
So in Genesis, it tells us how death entered as the punishment for sin.
And in Revelation, it tells how death is overcome. That it says death and Hades, the place of the dead, is actually thrown into the lake of fire. So there will be no more punishment for sin. There will be no more death. Like, people will not die in heaven. I think, like what you said about time,
mm-hmm.
like, we are eternal creatures in a physical world, so we cannot quite grasp the fact of forever.
Well, because time is a dimension.
Yes.
Length, height, width, and time. And so we're going to be actually moved outside mm-hmm. of time.
I know, which is so...
It's going to be strange.
It'll be strange.
But it won't feel strange because that'll be our natural habitat.
Yes, I agree.
There you go. Genesis tells us how we are banned from the tree of life.
Right, because it says that God put an angel around, well, flaming sword, at the entrance of the garden so they would not come in and eat from the tree of life. And then basically that was a protection so that we wouldn't be in our sin forever.
Hmm.
And so he banned us from it. But in heaven, it says that there will be, the tree of life will be there and will have fruit every month. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And it's open to everyone.
Hmm.
So because we will live eternally with God. So we're actually welcomed to partake of the tree of life in heaven.
And finally, Genesis tells us how our relationship with God was broken.
Yes, because in the very beginning, after Adam and Eve ate from the apple, it says that from Eve's line, well, Adam and Eve's line, will come someone who will crush the head of the serpent.
Meaning the devil.
Meaning the devil. And that someone was Jesus Christ, who at the cross broke the power of death and hell, restoring us to who we truly were created to be if we chose to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Originally, we were created to be in relationship with God, and I know you're saying, she says this over and over again, because I think that sometimes we forget why we were truly created. We're truly created to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, Holy Spirit. But because sin entered into the world, and we now have taken on that likeness, we have a sinful nature, we can't truly be with God until Jesus comes along, and by his blood, he actually redeems and restores that relationship. He pays for our sins. It says that he wipes them away so that we can actually stand before God because of Jesus. Not because of works are we saved. It's straight up Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our relationship, our proximity to him. And actually, there's a very neat story. It's written by Max Lucado, and it's a story about a young man who learned about the relationship with a son and how that brings you. I'll just read it, and then you can figure out what it's about. All right. Joe Albright is a fair and fearless West Texas rancher. He was a huge, square-jawed, raw-boned man in Andrews County, where I was raised. This is written by Max. And everyone knew him. One of Joe's sons, James, and I were best friends in high school. We played football together. More honest, he played football while I guarded the team bench. Some people can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
One Friday night after an out-of-town game, James invited me to stay at his house. By the time we reached his property, the hour was way past midnight, and he hadn't told his father that he was bringing anyone home. Mr. Albright didn't know me or my vehicle, so when I stepped out of the car in front of his house, he popped on a floodlight and aimed it right at my face.
Mm.
Through the glare, I saw this block of a man. I think he was in his underwear.
Oh my.
And I heard his deep voice. Who are you? I gulped. My mind moved at the speed of cold honey. I started to say my name, but didn't. Mr. Albright doesn't know me. My only hope was that James, his son, would speak up. A glacier could have melted before he did so. Finally, James interceded. It's okay, Dad. That's my friend Max, and he's with me. The light went off, and Mr. Albright threw open the door. Come on in, boys. Food is in the kitchen. And what changed? What made Mr. Albright flip off the light? Only one fact, that I had aligned myself with his son. My sudden safety had nothing to do with my accomplishments, how he played on the football field, or any offerings that he could make. It was because he knew his son. Period.
Yeah. Revelation 20 says this, then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was sitting on it, earth and sky ran away from him and disappeared. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and the book of life was opened. The dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. Each person was judged by what he had done, and death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, which is what we said. The lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
So, the book of life, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life, right?
Yes.
And that's where all the names of those who have aligned themselves with Jesus, just like Max had aligned himself with the son James,
yes,
in order to be accepted by the Father. That if our names are not written in that book of life, that ultimately there is a hell and there is judgment.
Yeah.
But we have the choice.
We have the choice. And that is the hope of Revelation. Is God finishes what he starts. He starts to have a relationship with us in Genesis. And in the end, all the Bible is like, come to me, come to me, come to me. Revelation, come to me, come to me, come to me. And finally, he's like, those who have come to me, come into your eternal reward, right? Well done. But those who have chosen not to serve Jesus Christ, and it is a choice. It's always a choice.
Well, see, Jen, that's... So I was talking to someone not too long ago, and I was telling them about God and, you know, my experience in being a Christian. And they said, well, I just can't believe in a God who's supposed to be loving, who would send people to hell, this awful place of torment and suffering. Like, what kind of loving God would do that?
Right.
And so what's your response?
Well, I think my response is... God is loving. And so he doesn't continue to force himself on people that don't want him in their lives. And so for those who have continually said no to God, then it just makes sense that he would not then welcome them into life with him. And so hell is absence of God. So they have chosen, I don't want anything to do with God. So while they're here on earth, they actually are continually bombarded by God every day. It says the earth resounds with the glory of God, right? And it says that creation groans to be reunited, to be restored, right? So they are surrounded by God every day. When the new heaven and the new earth comes... For those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be put in a place where there is no God whatsoever, because that was the choice that they actually made. They actually made a choice not to respond to being with God, because it says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. So following Jesus Christ is actually saying no to the things of this world. And that's just it, the things of this world. Except for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, right? He knew what was coming. And it's like, people need to see that there's more to this life than just what they see around them. That really there is a God who loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. And they actually have to make that choice to follow him. Or else the option is hell. Like a place without God. So it's not that... Yeah, God is a loving and caring God. And why would he actually allow people who don't want anything to be with him or his people to be in heaven with him and his people, because then that's not very loving towards the people who actually made the choice to follow him.
But ultimately, God doesn't send people to hell.
No.
People can choose, but he's made a way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm.
No one comes to the Father except by me. So he has already made a way for us to choose him. And so I think that's where I land with that, Jen, is that people make the choice to go there.
Yeah, they do.
That's the bottom line.
And they just don't like the repercussion of the choice. I think that's what the problem is. Well, what do you mean I can't do what I want to do and get what I want to have?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor. I want to have all the money and benefits that a doctor has, but I don't want to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be a resident. And, oh, don't make me, you know, touch people and diagnose people. But I want to have the title of doctor. I want to have the paycheck of doctor. I want to have the honor of doctor. But I don't want to do what it takes to be a doctor. And it's, you know, and that's a very rough picture, but it's like, I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven, but I do not want to do what it actually takes to be. Well, the results would be, well, I'm not going to let you be a doctor. You're not going to be a doctor unless you actually go through the steps of being a doctor. To get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life means I'm a sinner. I am separated by God because of my sin. And I recognize that only Jesus Christ can make me right with God. And so as a choice, I surrender my life, and I'm going to align myself with him, and I'm going to walk the road that he's calling me to. I don't fully get it, and that's not it. It's not about fully understanding everything. It's realizing that we need to be restored with God, and the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, we actually walk through life with Jesus teaching us.
And, you know, to continue with your analogy there of wanting to have all the benefits of maybe being a physician but not being willing to do the work, I see it as Jesus has done the work. He's the great physician.
Yeah. Yes.
And he then gives you the honor and the title.
Yes.
And then I see it as like he then takes your hand and he would write the prescriptions. So that's how I see my life living out now. That I can't do the work. I can't get into med school. I can't write an MCAT. I can't do this and that. But Jesus came. He already did it.
Yes.
I put on his lab coat. I put on that. And I now become that. And he helps me live it out.
Yes. Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And what it takes, the work, is to believe in the one that he sent, Jesus.
Yes.
So it's simple. And yet it's so hard.
Right.
To live for the Lord. Because you have to choose him.
That whole deny yourself. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to make, it's a choice. And God calls every single person to make that choice. Because he wants to be in relationship with you. But he wants you to be in relationship with him. And that's good.
It's good.
He does not force himself in. And just like Revelation, that is the hope of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Time after time after time, even though it's full of all sorts of symbols and numbers and plagues and wrath, but the underlying purpose is in order to draw people to him.
Right.
That they would finally make a choice to serve him, to love him, to come into relationship with him.
Mm.
In order that they can be restored and be with him forever. That's the hope of Revelation.
Yeah.
Is he finishes what he starts. He started in Genesis. I want to have a relationship with you. Revelation is, I want to have a relationship with you. And here you are.
And he's made a way.
And he's made a way through Jesus Christ.
Well, why don't we pray, Jen?
All right.
All right. Father, thank you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You sent Jesus, your only son, to die on a cross for us. And Lord, I feel like we say the same thing every week, but this is the good news. This is the gospel.
Yes.
This is real. Heaven is for real.
Mm-hmm.
I praise you for that. I also praise you that you are loving, but you are also just. And you're holy, and you don't want sin to be in your presence. It can't be in your presence. But I thank you, Lord, that by your grace you've made a way. Mm-hmm. That because when Jesus died on the cross, his blood can cover my sin now. You paid that price. And so we receive that forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, so much for all the people who are watching this show. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that when they read your word, it would just explode in their mind, that you would open their mind to understand. Open my mind, Lord, to understand even more. Lord, would you help us to live this life that honors you and to share with others this good news? We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much for tuning in to New Every Day. Please go to our website, neweveryday.tv. Check us out on Facebook. And we will see you next week. Same time, same place. Thank you so much to Category 5 TV for hosting. Mm-hmm. And Jen, thanks for the good conversation. Mm-hmm. I always feel like I learned something here.
Thank you, God. See you later.
Bye.